Monday the 3rd of March, Kofod Adar Zishon, Rabbi Yossi Gallendauer, Eel Masters.
A few people have realized that this year is a particularly interesting year. There's quite a few rare things happening this year. For example, Shemitah in the Ibiyo, there should be 13 months that people can't be able to work the land in Eretz Yisrael. Very rare phenomenon. There's a place of Shchaliyot B'Shabbos, that every housewife will be looking forward to. And now there's a few more unimportant points which are rare this year. There's another of the more frequent ones, because it comes twice every 7 years, is the mitzvah of Bir Maisis, which we've got this Pesach. In a nutshell, Bir Maisis means, we all know that there are hafroshes, separations, which one has to take from ingrown in Eretz Yisrael, and generally speaking, one can leave them. If somebody's got a storehouse full of wheat, let's say, if he's in no rush to eat it, doesn't have to take Trumas and Maestros yet, can wait. And even if he's taking Trumas and Maestros, he has eventually to give it to the Kohen Levi, if it's in Yerushalayim, the Master Sheni, whatever the case is, but he's in no rush to do so. Bir Maestros is the time when we have to take account. And by that moment, everything has to have been dealt with. That's in a nutshell. Let's get into it. First of all, the fundamentals, and then some of the dinim. First of all, Kevin Mitzvah, well, I should introduce with the psukim. Actually, there are two parshas in the Torah. There's a parsha in Re'eh, and a parsha in Kisoboy. In Re'eh, it says, Mikzei Shalish Shonim. At the end of 3 years, all the master of your produce has to be brought out, so leave it in your cities. Poshup Shat in this Posuk is, it's talking about having to give master only in the 3rd year, as the next Posuk implies. However, Chazal Dashan, Rashi brings it from a Sifri, and it's also in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that this Posuk writes the din of Bir Maestros, having to give, get rid of all Maestros which is left. Miktei Sholoshonim, at the end of 3 years, that means after the 3 years is up, in the 4th year, and just like the 3rd year has something special because it has only Master Rishon and Master Oni as opposed to Master Sheni, that's what makes the 3rd year special. And the year of Bir Maestros is the one following that. Similarly, the year following the 6th year, which also has Master Oni, the year which follows the 6th year in the Shemitah cycle, namely the Shemitah year itself, which is this year, there as well, there is the mitzvah of Bir Maestros. Then, Toitiyat Kol Masat V'Ofcha, get it out of your possession. Bir Maestros. That is in the 4th year, and in the 7th year. How do we know it's Pesach? Chazal have a drosha from this word mikveh, we won't go into that now. That's a pasuk in Re'eh. In Parashat Kisavoy, there's a different pasha. Ki sechaleh la'aseiros kol ma'asar tu'ofcho. When you finish taking ma'asar, bashona ha'shlishit shnasa ma'asar, in the 3rd year, which is the year where there is no ma'asar sheni, shnasa ma'asar, there's only one type of the ma'asar which we normally have. You will have already given it to whoever is meant to receive it. Then, you're meant to say something. What are you meant to say? It's got here 3 psukim, which a person has to say to declare that he has fulfilled all the mitzvahs to do with these various hafroshes. It's known in Chazal as Vidui Maestros. So we have, again, in Parshas Re'eh we've got a mitzvah of Bir Maestros. In Parshas Kisavoy it says, when you have done Bir Maestros, you've got rid of it, then there's a mitzvah of Vidui Maestros, to declare that you've done everything correctly. Simply speaking, it's 2 different mitzvahs. And there is such an opinion. The Bahag, Pahalalokos Gedolos, in his minyan hamitzvahs, when he enumerates mitzvahs, in mitzvah tof nun aleph, he's got the mitzvah of bil maestris. In mitzvah tof nun beis, he's got the mitzvah of vidui maestris. The problem is that he's the only one. The Rambam, in his Sefer Mitzvah, the Chinuch, all the other Rishonim who enumerate the mitzvahs do not count the mitzvah of bil maestris. They've got the mitzvah of vidui maestris, of making this declaration when you finish, but they don't enumerate the mitzvah of bil maestris, of having to actually get it out of one's possession. And the question is why, and that's very fundamental to the mitzvah, to understanding the mitzvah. So basically, I'm aware of two different mahalchim, two different ways how it's explained. One answer is given by a number of achronim, that bil maestris is only a way to get to vidui maestris, a hechsher to vidui maestris. In order for a person to be able to say that I've done everything correctly, which he has to say Pesach, the 4th and 7th year, he has to have everything out of his house. He can't say I've done everything when you haven't done anything. So bil maestris, according to these achronim, is not a mitzvah of its own right. It's only a detail of the mitzvah of vidui maestris. The achronim said, however, they base themselves very strongly on rishonim. The Rambam, in Sefer Mitzvahs, he doesn't bring bil maestris at all. However, in Halachas, Hilchos Ma'aseh Sheni, the Rambam starts off, Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Ma'aseh Sheni, he starts off telling us the din of vidui maestris, how it has to be said, where it has to be said, all the details of vidui maestris, and then in the middle he goes, Einu mitvada, elo ad shelo yishor etzloi achas mina matonis. You can't say this vidui until you haven't got any of these matonis left. And then the Rambam goes on and says all the halachas of vidui maestris, how you have to get rid of everything. So it seems pretty clear from the Rambam that he's learning this way, that the mitzvah of bil maestris is a way to get to vidui maestris. The chinuch, the way the chinuch is very often at the end of a mitzvah, he'll say midine hamitzvah. The chinuch has the mitzvah of vidui maestris. At the end of that, he says midine hamitzvah. Among the dinim which he brings for vidui maestris, he brings, make sure to get everything out of the house, make sure to do bil maestris. That would seem to be a good answer why bil maestris is not enumerated. The problem is the Minchas Chinuch isn't happy with this. The Minchas Chinuch asks that we find the mitzvah of bil maestris in Mishnayis even taking place when there is no vidui maestris. For example, for a person to be able to say vidui maestris, he has to be able to say, I've done kechol mitzvos ka asher tzivitoni. I've done exactly as I was meant to do. Namely, one of the things that Chazal say that it means is he has to do it in order. There's an order. You cannot take Ma'aseh Sheni before Ma'aseh Rishon. If somebody takes Ma'aseh Sheni before he's taking Ma'aseh Rishon, he's not allowed to say vidui maestris, because it will be saying shekel in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, in the Mishnah it's clear that such a person, if he does do that, the Ma'aseh Sheni works, it's chal, even though he hasn't yet taken Ma'aseh Rishon. Ma'aseh Rishon is chal, obviously, afterwards. And the Mishnah says he has the mitzvah of bir, he does have to get rid of it, even though there's no vidui maestris, he has to get rid of it. So how on earth could you say that bil maestris is only a way, only a hechsher to get to vidui maestris? You see the mitzvah of bil maestris even without it. There's one more example, and this is negeh to us. There's bil maestris even when there's no vidui maestris, because the Mishnah says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Mishnah Perek Hei of Mitachas Ma'aseh Sheni, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he did away with the mitzvah of Vidui Maestros. Why? Because Ezra made the takona. Ezra, Sefer said that Maaser Rishon should not go to the Levian, it should go to the Kohanim. Came along Yerushalayim Kohen Gadol a few generations later and said, in that case, what are we doing saying Vidui Maestros? Vidui Maestros says, I've done everything properly and I've given it to the Levi. We don't give it to the Levi. So Yerushalayim Kohen Gadol, from the days of Yerushalayim Kohen Gadol, the mitzvah of Vidui Maestros was abolished. Actually, it so happens, I'm not quite sure why, but there is a minhag in Yerushalayim till today. The minhag of Yerushalayim is in the 4th and 7th year, on the Shvi'ish LaPesach afternoon, which is the time when you're meant to say Vidui Maestros, they go in shul and learn from the Sefer Torah Vidui Maestros. So I'm not quite sure, presumably it's just a minhag Zeichel LeMikdosh. The Chavnish didn't hold it. And it's only done in Yerushalayim and not in the rest of the episode. Anyway, but Yerushalayim going God was Mevatel Vidui Maestros. Nevertheless, the Mishnah talks about Ram Gamliel coming on a ship, the whole story about how he was Mekayim Mitzvah Vidui Maestros by proxy when he wasn't there. His name Ram Gamliel came long after Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So how is it that we've got Mitzvah Vidui Maestros without Vidui Maestros? That's the Minchas Chinuch Kasha, and he remains with the Kasha on it. I'm not going to try and answer his kasha. You see clearly that our Rishonim do seem to be saying that Vidui Maestros is a Heksha to Vidui Maestros. However, the Chavnish comes along and gives a different answer. Why is Vidui Maestros not enumerated? Says the Chavnish. Vidui Maestros is a detail of, not of the mitzvah of Vidui Maestros, but of the mitzvahs of all the other Aproshes. All the things he's got to do, Trumas and Maestros, in them there's a detail that they have to be finished by that date. So Bir Maestros isn't a mitzvah of itself. Bir Maestros is a part of the mitzvah of taking Trumas, of taking Maestros, and taking Maestros Sheni. Those mitzvahs are given with a date. Make sure you finish this mitzvah by Pesach of the 4th and 7th year. That's how the Chavnish explains the reason why there's no mitzvah of Vidui Maestros enumerated. It comes out an interesting difference between the Minchas Chinuch and the other Rishonim and the Chavnish. See, the Minchas Chinuch he has a shaila. Are women mechuyev in Vidui Maestros? Do women have to do Vidui Maestros? So the question is, is it the mitzvah that says that man geromo? And the Minchas Chinuch says, well, if you say that the mitzvah is only on Pesach, so then it's the mitzvah that says that man geromo. It's only that's at stake. However, he's got so maybe the mitzvah continues afterwards. Even if you haven't done it then, you can say that. So that's his shaila, whether women are mechuyev in Vidui Maestros. According to the Chavnish, there's nothing to talk about. Women have to take Trumas and Maestros. One of the details of Trumas and Maestros is to make sure you've done it by Pesach of the 4th and 7th year. You can't say that you're Mechuyev Trumas and Maestros, but this detail of Trumas and Maestros is not Mechuyev. So according to the Chavnish, there's nothing to talk about. That would be a difference between the two ways to understand Vidui Maestros. Let's go now into some of the dinim of Vidui Maestros. Basically, what's it apply to? Vidui Maestros, so I have to be finished with everything. So I'm not going to go into the details of Trumas and Maestros. I gave a share here a few months ago. If anybody wants to get it again, it's in number 464, I believe. That's in Kehilat Loshen. We've got Truma given to the Kohen. Master Rishon given to the Levi, Trumas Maiter, which the Levi has to give to the Kohen, and Master Sheni in the first, second, and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, and that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. In the third and sixth year, we've got Master Onya has to be given to the Onya. For those things, definitely there's a din Vidui Maestros. However, there is Vidui Maestros in another two things. First of all, Revoy. We know that the first 3 years, whether something is planted, it's got it in oral, it can't be eaten at all. In the fourth year, it's called Revoy. Revoy has to be eaten in Yerushalayim or has to be redeemed on money which is then taken to Yerushalayim, and with that money food is bought and eaten in Yerushalayim, the same, exactly the same as Ma'aseh Sheni. If a person has Revoi in his possession, he has Kedushas Revoi in his fruit, or he's been mechalal that, he's redeemed that onto money, that has to be gotten rid of, well, in those days it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim by this date. Nowadays, if one's got it on coins, one has to get rid of the coins by that date. Exactly the same as Ma'aseh Sheni. And there's one more thing, it's challah. Challah, one takes from things which are baked, one has to have out of one's possession before Pesach of this year. Now, I don't think too many people have bread or challah in their house on Pesach anyway. However, it isn't a get to matzahs. Most people buy matzahs which are made under good hashgach, and therefore there's no shaila that they will have already taken challah. It could be some people have buying and bake themselves in a chabura, and they have to watch out that challah has been taken before Pesach of this particular year. When is a din b'maisis? We said Pesach. When in Pesach? So if you look in our Mishnah in front of us, Ma'aseh Sheni, Perkei, Mishnah Vav, says Erev Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach Shel Raviv Shel Shvi Haya Biyur. According to the Mishnah, as we've got in front of us, it says it's Erev Pesach. 14th of Nisan is the mitzvah of Bia Maitres. And that is quoted by Rashi in Sanhedrin, Yudalef, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet. However, that's not the halacha. Because the Rambam had a different gift than the Mishnah. The Rambam's Mishnah said, Erev Yom Tov Ha'acharon Shel Pesach. According to the Rambam, was the last day of Chol HaMoed, the sixth day of Pesach, that's when the mitzvah of Bia Maitres took place. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. And I want to point out that even according to our Gisa, according to the way we've got it, the mitzvah of Bia Maitres is Erev Pesach, that's not Midoraisa. Min HaTorah, it's clear that the mitzvah is any time on Pesach. At the end of Pesach, one has to have got rid of it. Midrabanon, according to our Gith and according to Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim, there's a mitzvah to do it a bit earlier. Do it on Erev Pesach. But Halacha Lemaisa, Shulchan Aruch paskens clearly, the mitzvah is to be done by the end of Pesach. There is, however, a minhag brought down by the Chazon Ish. The minhag was to get rid of, before Pesach, whatever one doesn't need. So people do generally Bia Maitres, they get rid of whatever they don't need on Erev Pesach. If there's for some reason they need to keep something until later on, they do Bia Maitres again on Erev Shvish or Pesach. What is the mitzvah? What are the parts of this mitzvah of Bia Maitres? So I think one can divide it into three parts. First of all, one has to take all these things. One has to separate them. So the person's got tevel, he's got something which hasn't had Trumas and Maitres taken from it yet. He has to separate Trumas and Maitres. Second of all, he has to give those things which he has separated now or separated previously, has to give them to the person who's meant to be the recipient. The Kohen, the Levi in those days. Or if it's Ma'aseh Sheni, to eat it up in Yerushalayim. And thirdly, somebody who hasn't been able to do that, for some reason he's still got something in his possession which he hasn't been able to give to the person he was meant to give it to, he's got to get rid of it. That's Bi'ur Maitres. Bi'ur is like Bi'ur Chometz. Get rid of it. That's the third aspect of Bi'ur Maitres. So let's go through them one at a time. First of all, Tevel. And I have to make sure that one's got all one's tevel, one's been misaken it. One's done whatever has to be done to the tevel, taking from the Maitres. And it's important to point out that even if somebody isn't able to deal with it correctly, he's got something which is tevel, he knows that for whatever reason he's not going to be able to give it to the relevant person, so he's going to be over the second aspect of the amatris. He's going to still have it in his possession, he's going to have the truma in his hands when Pesach finishes. He still has to take the truma to amatris. He shouldn't have tevel in his hands. That's the first point. That's another point, which is negeh halacha lemaisa to us. The Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Demai, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis of Demai, says that Demai ein lo bia. What's Demai? Demai is something which we're not sure whether Truma and Maisa have been separated. So Chazal tell us that Roiv Ame Horet Ma'afin Hei. One can rely, if something, one receives something, let's say one buys something from someone else, someone isn't sure whether he has taken Trumas and Maxis from it, one can rely that most people would have taken Trumas and Maxis. Therefore, Midday Raisa, Demai, doesn't have to be taken again, Trumas and Maxis from it. Demai is not Tevel. But Midday Bonon, they said, that person who receives Demai, he receives something from someone, he doesn't know whether that person has done the correct procedures with it, he has to take traumatomitis again. That's the din of Demai. Midrabonon, it's still considered like Tevel. Demai, ein lo biur. The din of biur, of having to get rid of it before and the Pesach, does not apply to something which is Demai. In which case, if we would receive something from Eretz Yisrael, something comes to England and left it all. It's possible that before it left the farm, if it was a religious farmer, he would have taken Trumas to Maestris. Yeah, I just want to point out again, I said it in the previous year, there is some fallacy here in England. People believe that the Rabbanut takes Trumas to Maestris of things which are exported. They don't claim to. Right? They're relying on certain things. It is a, I don't know where the mistake crept in here, but I've checked that very clearly. The Rabbanut officially don't take Trumas and Maisis, things come here, but it's still possible, you could say, and that's where we're up to, that the farmer would have taken Trumas and Maisis. So does that mean everything we get is Demai? Chaznish says, unfortunately, we can't say that. Unfortunately, things have changed. We're in a position now where we can't say, he says the Roshan, Boishimonu, we're ashamed to admit that in our generation, most people don't take Trumas and Maisis. Therefore, what we receive here is called Sofuk Tevel. It's not Demai, it's Sofuk Tevel. It's a Sofuk Deraisa. In many cases, it's Drabona, usually. Usually it's Drabona nowadays, it's one of them. But as far as Mibir is concerned, there is Mechuyiv Bir. Something which one receives here from Eretz Yisrael, goes and buys orange juice, says on the carton, made in Israel, one has to take Trumas and Maisris before Pesach, or at least before the end of Pesach. However, what happens if it's got a Hechsher? And then we know that there's a lot of people who are Machmir, especially in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people want to call their Ibn Maitren. They want to make quite sure that they haven't been over any of the mitzvahs of Tluis Boret, and therefore,
what happens if one takes twice?
Nothing wrong. Yeah, nothing's gone wrong.
Not knowing that it was taken
already. We don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha, anything which comes here. And nothing will happen if you take twice. So, it's not bad practice. It's because you're doing it for a mitzvah. And that's why a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael, even if they get something with a reliable hechsher, they'll still take Trumas and Maisis again. That is Demai. If Shem Zam Neubach says clearly, that is Demai, and the person who does that, and he's got coin for Matashani in his possession because he's been Machmir and he's taken Trumas and Maisis again, he doesn't have to get rid of them before the end of Pesach. Yeah. About giving it, he said that one has to make sure to give everything to the relevant people. Once it's been given, once the coin's received his Truma, for example, he doesn't have to eat it. The coin, once we've taken it out from under Shut and the Kohen has it, the Kohen's allowed to keep it till after Pesach. So now, What happens, we nowadays, we take truma. We don't give our truma to Kohenim anymore. They couldn't eat it anyway because they're tummy nowadays. Food's tummy also. So what do? We take our truma, we take a minimum amount of truma, just over 100, and we wrap it up, and we put it respectfully in the bin. Is that enough, or is that not enough? Do you say that I have to make sure it's got out of the world? Or is it enough that I've wrapped it up and I put it in the bin? After all, I haven't given it to the coin. If I've given it to the coin, then there's no problem with beer. But if I've wrapped it up and put it in the bin, is that enough or is it not enough? That's actually a machlekes nowadays. The Minchas Yitzchok, a vice, he was machmir. He said it's not enough to take truma and put it in the bin. And I have to actually burn it. However, Rav Yosef, Avim Chaim Chaim, he holds that it's sufficient. He takes truma, puts it in the bin, and that's good enough. That's as far as points relevant to giving it. The last point, which is the one which is most famous, the mitzvah of beer is most known about, is getting rid of the coin of Ma'aseh Sheni and Ravoi. So we've got a person has taken Ma'aseh Sheni and Ravoi. He has redeemed it onto a pruta of a coin in his possession. What does he have to do with that coin? So that coin has to be, we have to have beer to that coin. We have to get rid of it. How does one get rid of it? So the halachas of getting rid of a coin are learned. The Poskim learn it out of Hilchus Ibud Avodah Zarah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that if a person has Avodah, gets hold of Avodah Zarah, he's got to get rid of it. He's got to destroy it completely in such a way that nobody can ever benefit from it. And the same thing applies to the coins with Kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni or Kedushas Ma'aseh Ravoi on it. Kedushas Ravoi on it. One has to get rid of them completely. So have a look over there. What are the halachas of getting rid of Avodah Zarah? So it says there, one way of getting rid of it is to throw it into the Yam HaGadol, Yam HaMelach. The Poskim say the Yam HaMelach isn't only the Yam HaMelach, but any sea is good enough. However, a river not. Why? Because in a river it's possible that somebody will once dive in, or they'll drag up the river, and somebody might once take it again. In the sea, straight right out into the sea, that's less likely. And we in Keren HaMaitris got coins, and Baruch Hashem Gated, anybody knows geography, it's near the sea, and for some reason, someone managed to find time a few years ago to go to take my coins to the sea, and that's how we got rid of them. There's another way, how to get rid of the coins. Might be simpler. Smash them up completely. It used to be illegal in this country, now it is legal. Again, you're allowed to do it. I'm saying this on tape. That you can take the coin, smash it up completely in such a way that it's totally unusable. After that, what about the metal? So Rabbi Yosef says, probably others as well, but I know it's from him, one has to then wrap it up in such a way that it's likely to be the rubbish authorities will deal with it appropriately. One doesn't have to be worried that the metal will be used again. One more thing. Yeah, there is another eat actually, which Shmuel Salanta used to do. Much the simplest of the lot. To pour it, to be poured it again onto a food. He used to do it into sugar. And then that sugar, put it. A coin into the sugar, and the sugar you just melt and then pour it away. Shmuel Salant used to do it. However, the Chaznish has problems with it. In short, there's two problems. Number one is, are you allowed to buy with your money, with your Ma'aseh Sheni and Ravoi money, food outside Yerushalayim? The Torah says you take this money to Yerushalayim and there you buy food. Are you allowed to buy with it food already before you get to Yerushalayim? The Rambam seems to say in the count. That's one problem. The other problem is, this food, most food which we have, are going to be tummy. We're all tummy. Doesn't have to be tummy, any tummy. You're not allowed to take Ma'atishaini mani, or Ravoi mani, and put it onto food which can't be eaten in Yerushalayim b'kedusha. That's the Mishnah. So, can we put it, the kedusha from these coins, and put it onto food which is tummy? That's the problem with doing into sugar. The Ma'atishaini there's that one, we get personally with a Keren HaMaisis on Erev Pesach, get rid of the coins. On Shavuos or Pesach, more people might have put Kedusha into my coins. That's already too complicated. I have an eitzah. I take nuts, which have been in their shells, they've never got wet. Something which hasn't been ever wet hasn't had a hechsher lekabel tumah. But however tumah I may be, and I touch it, since it's never been wet, it's not hechsher lekabel tumah, and therefore it's not yet tummy. Take a putter's worth of that, and then destroy that, destroy this bit of nut. That's the eitzah to get rid of the kedushas matasheni. One last thing is that if anybody does find themselves after Pesach with anything with kedusha, or any tevel, anything which hasn't had kedushas matasheni, finds the coins in his rishus, he's mechuyev to get rid of them immediately, as soon as he can. That's the last thing. And maybe we'll be zoicher that I've got in my possession coins with Kedushas Matasheni. I'm planning to get rid of them in various ways as we discussed. But I hope that we'll be able to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it with Kedusha.